grateful this summer to have our summer intern, James Hero, with us. James comes to us from the Sturgeon Bay Moravian Church, and he's being shared this summer with Sturgeon Bay, and it's such a privilege to welcome him to the pulpit to share a message today.
I have to admit, I'm a little disappointed Dawn didn't leave the step down for me, but I'm sure you guys don't want to hear whatever noises my stomach is making this morning. Our gospel lesson this morning was the story of the Good Samaritan. It is a well-known parable, perhaps the most well-known parable, and one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. I'm sure people who don't really have much experience in church settings or didn't grow up in any organized religion or Christianity, even if they hadn't, they would understand the Good Samaritan. They would know maybe not the characters, maybe not exactly what goes on, but if you want to discuss something about the Good Samaritan with them, they would know what you're talking about. It is a perfect example of what it truly means to love your neighbor. We see the priest who walks by and does not choose to help this man. We see the Levite do the same. And finally, we have a Good Samaritan who is willing to be selfless and have compassion on this man and go above and beyond in order to get him back on his feet and make sure that he is well. But before we can even get to these three people walking down the road, we have this interaction between Jesus and this lawyer. First, the lawyer asks, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, knowing he's a lawyer, tells him to tell me what's in the law. And of course, what's written in the law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as well. And this is the right answer. Jesus tells him as such. But the lawyer isn't finished yet. He has an extra question. He needs to know who my neighbor is. And when he asks this, he's really asking, but who do I have to love? Who can I treat as a neighbor, and who is it okay to maybe not love as much? Where is that line between my neighbor and someone else? And of course, we get the story of the Good Samaritan in response. And as we find out, the neighbor in that story, the neighbor to this lawyer, is this Good Samaritan. Now, hearing the words Good Samaritan in Jewish ears at that time would be an absolute oxymoron, because there was no such thing as a Good Samaritan. They were people who were deemed unclean, they were non-Jewish, the Jewish people despised them and avoided them at all costs. So for the model of loving your neighbor and being a neighbor to someone else, for that to be a Samaritan would have been tough for this lawyer to hear. And not only should he follow this person's example in what it means to love someone else, he should treat the lawyer the same way. He should treat a lowly Samaritan with the same type of love. Now, last fall, I had a bit of a similar instance as the story of the Good Samaritan. I was walking to class out in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, with one of my classmates. And as we were walking on Main Street, keep in mind we are two people headed to seminary, a building that its main purpose is teaching you how to have compassion and love for others in your lives. And the two of us were people who had just moved to Bethlehem with that call in our lives. That was on our minds, was we wanted to spend our lives having compassion for other people and serving other people. So that is the two of us as we walk towards seminary. And much like in our lesson this morning, the path is a little bit treacherous in one spot. The path from Jerusalem to Jericho was well known for being a dangerous route. It was harbored by bandits and villains who would hide out and were willing to jump on anyone they thought they could take advantage of. Now, the walk to seminary, I'll admit, is not something quite like that. But on Main Street, there are all these shops, these nice shops. You can get your Moravian Stars, and you can eat at fine restaurants. Everything is great. But before you get to seminary, you have to go through one block that sticks out from all the rest. It is dirty. There's garbage on the street. It has low-income housing on its sides. There's always something going on that block. It makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. And as we approached that block, a man approached the two of us, and this man was dirty. He was in torn up clothes. He definitely did not look like he was having a very good day. And he approaches us and tells us that he has been homeless for quite some time. He's been struggling, and he's not sure if he has enough money to buy a meal for today. And he asks this of two seminarians who are supposed to be so loving and compassionate of anyone we meet. That is our life calling. And he asks us this question. We hear his cry and his story, and the two of us freeze. We get uncomfortable. We don't exactly know what to do. This was a first for us in this sort of a situation. And in our hesitance, this man bowed his head, disappointed, and walked away hungry after being willing to embarrass himself to ask two strangers to help him out for a meal. So we had let this man down. And when I think of the Good Samaritan, two things really come to my mind today. When I got the message for this week, got the passage, I was all excited to preach on the Good Samaritan. It seems like a pretty routine, standard lesson, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized there are some things that come up with this story. The first is that as we listen to the Samaritan's actions, as we hear what he's willing to do, to sacrifice for this stranger, to put himself out there to make sure this man is well again, we read that and we assume that we are capable of doing the same. We assume that because we are followers of Christ, that we believe in God and we believe what we've been taught, that we can mirror exactly what the Samaritan did. Of course, that's exactly what we're called to do as Christians. But when those opportunities arise, the reality is so much different than the assumption we make in our minds. It is much more difficult to have that compassion on your sleeve and that ability to reach out and help someone, even though that's what we're constantly told to do. And that compassion isn't necessarily as easy to tap into. For my friend and I, that hesitance, that assuming we were on the right path and assuming we were compassionate people, we were still caught off guard, and we still missed a chance to serve one of our brothers in faith. And the second thing about this story doesn't have so much to do with the Samaritan itself as much as the situation he walks into. He arrives on the scene after the fact, after this man had been beaten up by the robbers and left for dead on the side of the road. There is nothing that we know of that he could have done to prevent this man from being inflicted on so much harm. He merely shows up and does as much as what he is capable to do. But I think of that situation, that man on the side of the road, and I think about the world we live in and the society that we harbor and how often we're willing to let a person end up in the ditch before we're willing to help them out. We need to wait until things are bad enough or bleak enough before we're finally willing to reach out a hand and lend this person whatever aid they need. It happens all over the place in our society. We trick ourselves into thinking we're stumbling onto these horrible scenarios when really we've allowed them to grow and get worse and worse, and now they're just finally loud enough that we have to do something and we have to act as we are called to by God. It's been 2,000 years since the life of Jesus, and just now we have to coin the phrase Black Lives Matter. It is something we have allowed to happen and occur and reoccur, and finally we're forced to address this situation, and we're addressed to tap into that compassion that we have. In our lesson this morning, I pray that we are able to not use our compassion as simply a reaction for bad situations. That's simply not good enough as Christians, to wait until things are bad enough to use the capability of compassion that we have. We cannot reserve our compassion, our love for one another, until bad situations arise. It needs to be on the front of our minds, in the heart of our minds, as we act day to day, and these situations would perhaps not occur as much. We wouldn't be faced with such uphill battles that we so often are faced with. So as you leave today, know that your compassion isn't something to save up and to tap into when it's needed the most, that it's something that we can have on our sleeves on a day-to-day basis, and that we can assist God's people every single day, not just when they are on the side of the road and in desperate need of help. Amen.